when someone we love is sick, a tendency for us is to go and reach out to others, asking for prayers, enlisting as many intercessors that we can so that we can offer those prayers for healing. Normally found on a Facebook post or in an email chain, you'll find someone saying something to the effect of, well, with all of us here, let's all get together and storm heaven with our prayers. Well, what does that mean? And is that something we should say? It comes from the idea of storming the castle. And what do you do when you storm the castle? Well, you take up arms, you use your might, you use everything at your disposal to take on that castle, figuratively, literally, and you lay siege to the castle. You overcome the opposition. You storm whatever is in your way. We shouldn't speak this way. Think about what that conveys. Fosters the idea that God is a miser who is on his lofty throne apart from all of humanity where he desires to be. And he's got all his graces, holding them to himself. And to say to storm heaven with our prayers, it's as if we have to throw our prayers to God like darts or javelins and say, ha! Are we going to weary him enough so that finally, he lets them go and finally does something good for us? I bring that up because of what the Book of Wisdom today says. What wisdom says about who God is, or who he ought to be, or how we should perceive him in life. Wisdom says God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. God formed man to be imperishable, the image of his own nature he made him. In this created world, in the cosmos, and everything that we are able to perceive, nothing has been made in his image and likeness other than you and me, other than humanity, other than us. And that was purposeful. That's not something God was required to do, as if God was required to do anything. When he made us in his image and likeness, he made sure that we were aware, that we were set apart from the rest of the created world. Allow us to realize that he has made us something special. And if we are found with his image and likeness, then how is it that we can say that God has something against us, that God is after us, that God does not desire the good in us, that he is the one that is responsible for the travesty that is my life? All of that is the lie of the evil one. All of that is the lie of the devil. So if God did not create death, what happened? Wisdom says, by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. Not only is the devil responsible for death, he's responsible for everything that hastens our death. And what is death? Well, it's the absence of life. Who is life? Jesus Christ. So then the devil tries to do all that he can to take us away from Jesus. Introducing thoughts to us to distract us, to thwart us, to subvert the very image that has been grafted into us. The devil does this by trying to focus on the negative. And this is something that has been perpetuated ever since the beginning with Adam and Eve. Think back to Genesis 1, Genesis 2. God created the world, the waters, teeming with life, the land, the mountains, the sunrise, all these beautiful things. Why did God do that? Why did God make the world? Why did He make the cosmos? God in and of Himself is sufficient. There is no deficiency in God. So why would He do that? We are told at the very end of that story, when everything was set, man was made. Male and female, He created them. He breathed life. The Ruach, the Holy Spirit, came, and from this earth came forth life. And that, He said, was very good. So He made all these things because He knew very well that this crown of creation would enjoy everything that He had made. It's like He set it all up. Right? It's kind of like when you and I are hosting a party and we're trying to get everything just right. And we think, oh great, they're gonna love these things. This is going to be great. This is going to be fantastic. And it's going to be an awesome celebration. That's how God was when He created the world. He's like, oh, they're going to like this. They're going to like the waters. And they're not going to like the centipede so much, but that's okay. You know. And He did that because He knew that there would be delight, fascination, all the many things that we would come to learn and enjoy. And all He asked was not to eat from that tree. And what did the devil do? Hey, did He tell you not to eat from that tree? Man, what kind of a God do you follow? He doesn't trust you. He doesn't love you. And that gets into us, as it did with Adam and Eve. They start thinking, oh yeah, what's wrong with that tree? Despite the fact that 99.99999% of the whole thing, right, was all good, was all wonderful. It's like, oh, zero in on that one thing. And that's often what He does to us. And God has given us so much, and yet we find ourselves falling in the trap of Satan and zeroing in on the negative and going, gosh, does God love me? And I doubt it. Look at my life. Look at what's become. And we fall in that trap. We fall in that trap to perceive God in a way that is not true. Why is this important? Well, we've got to know that we're not being assaulted from every side. We've got to know that God is not against us. Right? St. Paul makes that clear. God is for us. But do we believe that? Do we understand that? Do we know that through and through? And some of us struggle with the image of God and how He is. Some of us even struggle with even saying, you know, using the personal pronoun, He, you know, God is personal. God desires a relationship with you. Do you desire a relationship with Him? That's gonna invite us to move forward from where we are. You know, sometimes we get into ourselves so much and say, well, God's just gonna be the one that makes the first move. You know, I'm not going to move. God has to move. God sees this anyways. It's not true. We can move. We have our will. We have the ability to recognize what is happening in our life, what is wrong, and what needs to be done. And through the grace of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome those things. Through the grace of the Holy Spirit, we can be reintroduced to life. New life. Greater life. Life in the Holy Spirit. Peculiarly, I'm sure, a few of us might be thinking, well, okay, death entered the world because of the envy of the devil. This fallen angelic creature that is so much more than you or I is envious of us, looks to us, and boom. What is envy? Envy is one of the seven capital sins. Envy is like jealousy on steroids. See, jealousy comes into a person when they feel as if, oh, what that person has, I want it too. And sometimes it's this inordinate desire for it. Envy takes it a step further and says, you know, I don't have it, and neither should you. So I will harm it, I will mar it, I will disfigure it, and if I can, I will destroy it. And that's precisely what the devil wants to do to us. But why? Of course, God, being omniscient, you know, goes and shares his view of things and how the world would be, right? You know, and that's the thing. Just because God knows something doesn't mean he should ought to go and prevent it or stop it. You know, I got asked that by one of our students in the grade school. And when God knows that someone is going to do this, why doesn't he stop it? And by the very nature of God, you know, God can't not know that. And so when you have all the angels there and God revealing what's going to happen, Lucifer then hears God say, and then, you know, my son, Jesus, he will unite himself to humanity. You know, it's the hypostatic union. Divine nature, human nature found in Jesus Christ in the one person. So when he reveals that, Lucifer goes, whoa. Question. That doesn't sound right. Okay, let me get this straight. The divine, you're going to unite with man? You're going to unite with man? Hey, newsflash, there's someone better out there. We've got the angelic nature. Why don't you unite with us? I think that's a better plan. Do you know what humanity is capable of? Of course you did. You just told us. You know, they're going to hate you. They're going to betray you. They're going to say, oh yeah, Jesus is Lord, but they're going to stab you in the back. People aren't going to care of your message. They're going to lie to you. And you want to unite yourself to man. Are you a fool? Man, if I was God, things would be different. It would just make logical sense to unite to the next superior being there is, the next superior nature there is, and that is angelic nature. And oftentimes that's what we find ourselves doing. We think about what might be the next logical step in our actions. And we never consider what the Holy Spirit, what the Father might be leading us to do. Which may not make sense to us, but certainly makes sense to God. And so that envy that's found in the devil, you know, that's why he has it in for us. Because we were able to receive that grace. That the divine would say, I will unite myself to sinful humanity. And sometimes we lose that. You know, we lose that understanding. We lose that truth. We forget that this is what he did. And so when we are living as pilgrims in this world, we've got to be bold against evil. We give it no quarter. We don't subscribe to the notion that we've got to be tolerant of evil. You know, oh well, it's just one opinion over another. Who am I to say? Shut up! Thing is evil, recognize it as evil. And voice it. Denounce it. You know, such is the case where, you know, in these civil places where they invite Christians, they invite Jews, people to come and pray, and they say, well, because we're giving everyone a fair share, we're trying to make sure, right, that everyone has a chance to pray. You know, we can allow the Satanists to come because they have a voice too. No! Absolutely not! That is evil. Period. And that's when we have to rise up against that. And we say, no, that is wrong. We can't allow that. And everything else that is within us must speak that. Because you and I, hopefully, God willing, that's why we're here, are about truth. About the love of God and the fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that only He is the one that will allow us to receive that which our hearts long for, the glory of heaven. But we need to be out there fighting. We can't be silent anymore. A voice must be heard. You know, so many times we have this timidity about us, about living the faith. And that's not going to fly. That isn't the faith. You know, when the Holy Spirit was given to us, it was a spirit of boldness, a spirit of courage, a spirit that allows us to move past what other people might be thinking, so as to share the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why it's so important that we recognize who God is and who the devil is. Because then we recognize if God is for us, who can be against us? And if we recognize the very identity of God, then it will encourage us even that much more to give our all to Him. It's not enough to say that, you know, our Catholic faith is simply a system of rules. Man, that gets old. That wears on you after a while, and you get tired, and it's not fulfilling, and it was never meant to be fulfilling. Where it is our relationship with Jesus Christ, first and foremost, and how we go from there. So that's why we have to get that right. The image of God as Father, we have to get that right. And if there's something there that we struggle with, if there's something, dysfunction that we have, that we have to address it, we have to bring it to prayer. Pray to the Holy Spirit, Lord, maybe I'm not even aware of it, right? And I would say sometimes, you know, it's something which happened in the past and we're just not willing to face it. Well, we thought that it's been long gone, that it's been dealt with, but it hasn't. So we have to go to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, identify this dysfunction for me. What is it that's holding me back from living the life that you have invited me to? From living the joy that is found in the gospel? What is it, Lord, that is preventing me from living out that image and likeness you have grafted onto me? We do this so that we can be on the ready. We do this so that we find ourselves not caught off guard. You know, 1 Peter 5:8 warns us, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And that's why the devil seeks our death and wants to paint God as our adversary, that we might be deprived of our inheritance and be tormented by the enemy for all eternity. Our posture must be that of our Blessed Mother. We are ready to crush the head of the serpent. That we approach the world in that faith in God. And as we do so, you know, this faith that we have, the gospel today, healings, that happens today. And the more that we give ourselves to the Lord, the more that, wow, you know, He will never be outdone in generosity. If you have questions about, you know, whether or not, you know, those healings happen today, I encourage you to consider going to our Wednesday night sessions. You know, we have a session on the Holy Spirit. We're learning about the Holy Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. People are getting prayed over. Grace is happening. Wonderful things are happening. You know, our hall there should be packed. You know, we should have to have this outside because there's so many people. And I don't know what it takes for that to happen. You know, and that's a sincere question. You know, that's not something that I'm demanding an answer. I just don't know. There's so much that our faith offers. But I don't think we want to try. And I don't think that's necessarily something that we don't want to try. I think there's just so much that's vying for our attention that we kind of, when it comes to our faith, that might be, admittedly, one of the last things that we tend to. Everything else is more important because everything else seems to be more pressing. And when it comes to the faith, it's kind of nebulous. Don't know how to place it. You know, it's not like your guardian angel every night goes before you go to bed, taps you on the shoulder. Hey, here's your progress report. I just want to know that today, you know, you did a great job with feeding that poor guy in the corner. That was wonderful. Pat you on the back for that. You know, it doesn't do that, right? There's nothing that encourages us. So we're just kind of like, am I doing my faith? I don't know. I believe in God. Does that count for anything? And the richness of our faith, if we accept the invitation to dive in it deeper, there is so much more for us. So on this Wednesday group, just this past Wednesday, there was an opportunity for individuals to be prayed for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit and receive graces and gifts. And I distinctly remember one person after being prayed over, you know, she was found resting in the Spirit. So for those that don't know, she was, you know, there was someone that we have a catcher, and so she felt overcome by the Holy Spirit and went on the ground. So she was there for a while, and then afterwards she came to, her eyes opened up, and I was like, and then she said, my hand doesn't hurt anymore. Praise God. God heals. God restores. God is still performing miracles. But we have to step out there. And that's how we have all the individuals in the gospel, unless they were so impaired that they couldn't go anywhere, right? People brought them to Jesus, or they asked Jesus to come and see them. If not, people went to them. People went to Him. And that's what we've got to do as well. You know, if we find ourselves not having that relationship with God that we want, are we making the strides to go to Him, to give our heart to Him? We don't storm heaven. You know, God is very much on our side. It's the lie of the enemy to make us believe otherwise. You know, if we held on to a false image of the Lord, you know, take that to prayer. It can be so much more. And it is so much more. His commands may be challenging, but they are what leads to life.